Welcome back to the Tipsy Theology Podcast. Paul is dead inside because we just recorded the best episode.
She was so good.
We have ever done.
Yeah.
And it's gone. All right, welcome back. It's
it's your boys.
This episode might be a little weird because we're going to be really quick with it because we really did just record 45 minutes of pure
gold
perfection.
It was gold.
Yeah.
You guys will never know.
Yeah, God literally opened up.
Except for
up.
You guys that are actually here. You will know what happened.
We do have a live audience that got to
it's pretty cool.
Enjoy it for free.
Yeah.
For free.
Yeah. But, you know, that means, because you got a time crunch as well.
I do,
we got to be respectful for that.
So, we didn't really have anything to talk about, so I don't know how we're going to rush
the things. Do we ask the same questions again?
We can try.
Which this is what makes me mad, because it was such a great intro. It was so nice. So, I want you guys to know this. We planned something nice for you.
Yeah. And we're drinking St. Augustine Distillery Aperera Sherry Cask Finished Bourbon. I'm on my third pour.
Yeah. So this bottle was fresh, never opened. It has since been opened.
Yeah, if you're listening, it's halfway through.
You know what I will do for you guys, which was a little treat.
Please.
Let me start that now.
This is the treat right there.
That was it.
That one sucked compared to the other one. I'm so sorry.
Let me try it one more time. Let me try it again. It's not the same.
All right, bleep this out. This is a shit show.
I will. I won't, actually.
This is a shit show. We get one cuss word.
To legally be PG. Is it PG?
Non-explicit, yeah.
Yes. And he used it well. And if you don't like that he used it, go back to our episode about bad words.
Yeah. And we were talking about in the deleted episode how open-mindedness, talk about that a little bit with your podcast and everything.
I'm angry-mindedness. Yeah. Open-mindedness. Okay, yeah. Okay, we'll talk about that. That's good.
So basically, in the deleted episode, we kind of started. Obviously, we started with the drinking and
we were sober when we first started.
Yes. And I got a lot of frustration out about how none of Paul's guests these days seem to drink, which doesn't make any sense.
It's sad to both of us, actually. Love you guys.
But I do like that guy. What was his name?
Steven.
I've asked that 4 times now. Steven, you're great. Keep coming back on the podcast, you and Paul. Great chemistry.
But
you don't drink. And that's a problem. And if I had more time, I'd come to your house and tell you that you should do whatever you want to do, man. But it's boring.
I love it.
I keep pulling back, and then I'm like, we'll say something else even meaner. Sorry, man. I've been drinking. Okay, this isn't the first time we've done this.
Yeah. Which is, you know what's funny to me? Yeah. People will not know what we just did. And this is all they're going to be hearing is us being mad that they can't hear what we first recorded.
I think this episode should be us dissecting the deleted episode.
That's good.
Because what I liked about it, it had an artfulness to it.
Yeah.
It seemed like it had this planned, unplannedness to it. Mm-hmm. That it was just beautiful. I kept referencing this book, which I don't even know if I want to bring the book into this conversation at this point. Maybe at the end.
Bring it up.
Maybe at the end, because I did have one like serious thing.
And you had a Jung quote. Like,
oh, we did the Jung thing. I did a whole universalism.
That's Trey's thing.
Yeah, I did Jung. I did universalism. All the things you've come to know and hate about me.
Yeah. But I love them. Because it makes me look smart.
It definitely, yeah, it makes you look like the sane one.
Yeah, which is saying something. No, so, okay, so I'll hit some of the highlights here.
We're doing a Whiskey Wednesday episode now.
It has become Whiskey Wednesday.
Drop it on a Friday, though. I don't care.
Yeah, it's a main episode. Yeah, it's been some main episode.
Do you even do that anymore? You just drop them on random days?
They're kind of random right now.
Okay.
Yeah, they're kind of whenever I feel it.
Yeah, so is the podcast itself.
No, I try to do every 2 weeks.
Is it?
Yeah.
It seems consistent.
I did take a little break.
Yeah.
Because I just got swamped, but...
It happens.
Yeah.
It happens. So what have you learned doing this podcast for 3 years now?
That's a question you didn't ask me before. That's
it's good. Exactly what I asked you.
It's the same question. And you know what? I'm not going to try to replicate my answer because I'm going to give you the answer that is in my mind right now.
Yeah, because I did bring that up. The present moment always requires a new response.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's something to do with not being ideologically captured.
Actually, before I answer your question,
go ahead.
Can I say something I've been thinking about a lot?
Did you say it on the deleted episode?
I sure didn't. This is fresh new content.
I want to hear it.
You're like, oh, now I'm actually interested. So I've been thinking about this, and it's something that's become kind of a pet peeve for me a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's when people talk about, oh, I used to, or they used to, or this used to, something way cooler than what's happening now. And you know what bothers me about that is because oftentimes I think we as people, I find myself doing this sometimes too, we're so content, or we become content with talking about stuff that used to happen or how we used to be instead of just doing it.
Mm.
And so it's like there seems to be that thing that happens sometimes where we aren't able to live in the moment that's presented to us. So it's like, for example, let's say you're at a wedding and you see everyone out there having a fun time dancing. And instead of dancing, someone is telling you about how good of a dancer they used to be. And how they used to be the hit on the dance floor. It's like, well...
They never were.
Why don't you... Maybe they were, maybe they weren't. But it's like, why don't you go do that now? And so for me, and it's kind of living in that present moment that you brought
up,
and it requires a different response. And it's that, what are we doing to live within the moment that we're given right now instead of living in what used to happen?
Mm.
Which is kind of funny because we're getting so mad about a podcast. But
it was such a beautiful podcast, Paul. I don't know if I can take this one. It was 20 minutes ago, and it was great.
I'm going to say
sorry, I'm living in the past.
In the past. It's fresh past. It's fresh. But that's something that I've been thinking about a lot, and it's like, okay, what can I do for myself?
Well, that goes into the question.
Live in the moment.
I think nostalgia is a disease. I'm still working this out. Nostalgia, the term...
Yeah.
The etymologically, nostalgia comes from like a disease.
Explain that more.
I don't really know enough to. But it like nostalgia, you get so caught up into it that you can't even live in the present moment.
Hmm.
Yeah. But there is something to be said about, you know, reminiscing. No.
Okay, you'll do it. You got it.
So reflecting on past memories.
You pulled a Porky Pig there. Yeah. And I think there's a time and place for that, because I think that's a beautiful thing.
But yeah, it's easy to slip into nostalgia and sentimentality. And
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of, instead of creating new memories, you're living with the ones you already have.
Yeah. The past memories should inform present and future memories.
Yeah.
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 It's kind of like, you know, I'm engaged. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah. I saw you switch, actually.
Switch sides or what?
Switch from disengaged to engaged.
So I've been thinking a lot about...
Do you love how I took that way out of context?
I've been thinking a lot about marriage. And...
Yeah, because you're engaged.
Yeah. You knew? I didn't know. You knew?
Yeah,
okay.
I did.
And there's something to be said about, you know, people that have been married for like 40 years or so and all the memories they've made and how, you know, it is kind of a beautiful thing to think about being 70 years old and spending the majority of your life with one person. You don't even have to be married. It could be your best friend. It could be 40 years from now when we're still doing this podcast.
I hope we are.
Hopefully I'm back on it more frequently. And it's going to be really sad and probably even have even less listeners, but we'll still be doing it, and it'll be a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it'll be beautiful to reflect on it.
Yeah, yeah. I agree.
But that reflection doesn't hold us back from living in the present moment and making even more memories to reflect on later.
I think that's what's important.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because even, I mean,
what does that have to do with God? Honestly, answer that right now.
Let's go.
Answer it right now.
Wait, reframe the question for me.
There wasn't a question there.
Well, there kind of was. Actually, it was kind of an interesting question, but
oh, you actually
we don't
think
have
so.
To talk about it.
If you have something to say, I was being stupid, but
oh, I don't
you
know
love
if
stupid
I do.
Questions.
You know I
softballs,
do.
Softballs, yeah.
Because I'm conservative.
Exactly. Which, if you listen to the deleted episode... I had this whole tirade about
so good.
How much I hate conservatives and all that stuff. Because you know me. That's who
you
I
know
am.
Great. We could make up anything about this previous. We actually, we had like flame
You remember
throwers.
The panda thing? You remember the panda thing?
How could you forget the Dude. Panda thing? You guys will never know about the panda thing. Live zookeepers.
Anyways, I think there is... I think you could go into... In the book, he has the Christ of culture.
We're not talking about that book anymore. You,
let me hold it up.
Yeah, hold it up. They haven't seen it yet.
So I did talk about this, I think. We'll have to go back and listen on last year's episode when I joined the podcast.
Yeah.
It's Christ and Culture by H. Richard Niebuhr. His more famous brother was Reinhold Niebuhr. And
what a sick name, Reinhold.
Reinhold, yeah.
Sick.
H. Richard, the H stands for helmet.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he wore a helmet when he was a baby.
Are you serious?
No.
He might have.
He might have, I don't
know. There's enough homeschoolers out there. Love you guys.
So the Christ of culture, you can basically take any secular thing and be like, how is Jesus in this?
Hmm.
Yeah. Anyways, that's one of the five positions he takes on culture. I'll get to the sixth one that I came up with later.
Let's go.
Yeah, so if you actually want to answer this question, the question kind of was, if I remember correctly, it was so long ago, and I'm living in the present.
Yeah, yeah.
Was how, I guess it's like a time question. So we've talked about how reflecting on the past can be good if it pulls you more deeply into the present moment, and there's oftentimes where you can also slip into sentimentality and nostalgia.
Mm.
And I think that has disease-like consequences. It eats away at your soul in some sense.
Yeah.
So where's God in that?
Oh, so here's right off the dome. Oh, wait.
This is the theologian Paul.
I don't want them to see my feet. That's premium content.
Well, we haven't talked about feet yet today. We could get to that.
That's true. We did talk about feet earlier.
No, we didn't.
They'll never know. Okay, so here's off my dome. So I might not even agree with myself on this.
Well, yeah. Answer what you think now.
That's the point. So
that's the point? Is that the point?
Yeah, no.
Okay, go ahead.
So let me go ahead.
I am letting you go ahead.
So thank you. So where is God?
Up in the sky.
And with that,
yeah,
I think how do we perceive God? I think is where that question lies. And when we think of who God is right now, what is that based in? Is that based in what he has done, what he has done for other people, or what we think he was like? Or is that who he is? And I think that's kind of how where my brain goes with that question, where I would go as far, I mean, not go as far as to say, this is what I will say, that God is working, God does things. And an interesting pattern we see, is especially in the miracles of Christ, is he never really does the same thing twice.
That's true.
He's always doing something a little bit different. It's the same outcome.
Yeah.
Like he's healing a blind person. He's healing a lame person. Not that they weren't cool. They just couldn't walk. That was a dad joke.
Nice.
Thank you. But how he does it is different. And I think what's significant about that is because it causes us to question how it's done. And he's basically laughing at us and saying, like, yeah, that's not the point. The point's not how I do it. The point is that I do it.
Ooh.
Let's go. I love getting responses like that from Trey. Yeah.
I like that again. Say it again because I didn't hear you.
I don't know if I could, even if I tried.
Exactly.
But so the other thing is there are sometimes where we think something about who God is that isn't correct. But we hold on to that. And when God shows himself differently, we still run back to what we think he was like instead of now who we know him to be as he's revealed himself. And the important thing is even in Matthew, when God says, just as Abraham and Moses, just as I think he says, Abraham was, I am. It's like, what's significant about that? Well, he's saying that he wasn't in the past. He's always who he is. He is the I am. So it's not that he was in the past, he was in the present, he was in the future. He's like, he always is. There was no beginning, there was no end, he is. And I think that's what's significant and important when we think about living in the past, living in the future, living in the present, is that God is who he is. And we can embrace that in the moment.
All of time is present to God.
Yeah.
Yeah, and God is only found, only experienced, only related to in the present moment. Sorry. I burped a little bit.
They would not even have known.
Welcome to the Tipsy Theology Podcast.
You outed yourself.
Where we break down the divide of the secular and the sacred.
And I'm terrified that the computer's going to die again, so I keep looking at it.
But it is plugged in this time.
Oh, it's plugged in.
Okay.
I made sure of that.
Well, that's all I had to say today.
Well, let me answer your first question.
Yeah, go ahead.
What have I learned? And I'm going to throw it back at you like I did before. What have we learned? and for myself, here's how I'll answer it, is that I've learned, and I did say this before, that there are people that are just as interested in asking the weird questions, just as much as we were, and just as much as we are. There's a lot of things that don't make sense, and it's okay to ask those questions.
Like, why do you have two Jesuses when there was only one Jesus?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question.
Sorry to distract you, but it's distracting me right now.
Yeah, I can answer that for you.
Oh, there's a story?
Yeah,
go
there
for
actually
it.
Is. So I was playing for a camp about a month ago. And the last night, two kids, because I was playing on the worship team, two kids were very, very touched by how I played or whatever I did.
Play an instrument?
I do.
Didn't know.
Yeah.
Multiple?
Yeah.
Strings?
Well, if they heard the deleted episode, they wouldn't know. I play multiple strings at once sometimes.
Cool.
So it's kind of cool.
Okay.
But yeah, so they enjoyed that. So that was their gift to me, was giving me a Jesus.
Yeah, well.
So now I have two.
I'm an iconoclast, and that makes me really mad.
I'll throw one away.
No, both of them make me mad.
That's not what he looks like.
There we go. We're having special moments again.
Now we're back, baby. We're back.
I think when we started this podcast.
Do we just need to down one of these?
Another one?
Just.
This really is only my second.
This might
second.
Make us special.
Okay, we didn't clink back. The glasses in this episode yet, so that was necessary.
Right.
No, so
we
in the first
right past it.
In the special deleted episode that was for God and God alone.
Yep.
The four persons of the Trinity.
And Blake and Samuel. Yeah.
Like I said, the four persons of the Trinity.
That's true. We didn't talk about that on this episode, have we?
That's true. I'm not bringing it up because I want to talk about it again. I'm pretty tired of it. I'm over it. That's the past.
It's already been done.
When we started the podcast,
ancient history.
I wanted to be, I was Tipsy Trey, and that's the seventh time I've said that, but only the first on this episode.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I was the one, I feel like I was the one that wanted to be more silly, and you wanted to be more, I'm not saying you weren't silly, you were silly. You were especially silly, but you also really wanted to make a point on the episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you were more structured than I was.
That's true.
And that's apparent today as well. Because it's a special episode, this is
Unstructured.
It's a reunion episode. We're just having fun. But there's going to be some nuggets in here. Because as a truck driver, God has taught me a lot of things to bring, especially to you.
Let's go.
I wanted to be silly because I was scared of looking stupid. So I hid behind that silliness because I had the ministry degree and I still didn't have these answers for these questions we're talking about. So I was just scared of looking stupid.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is I went, you know, and now I have a master's degree in theology. And now I just want to be silly. Because I don't really care about the answers. I just think the questions are fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you know, that's actually a very, I think, a profound thing to say.
It's kind of like that meme where it starts out like the low IQ guy.
Yeah.
And then you reach the top and you're like, no, I got all the answers. And then you get really smart and you're like, nah.
I got nothing.
Yeah.
And that's what I found. It's like the more I dive into things, the more I look into things. And you know this because you actually studied it.
Kind of.
Is that that's if you read if you you know did the homework?
I passed the classes. I don't know what else I did.
C's make degrees. I'm not saying that.
You can continue.
I'm making jokes at his expense, which aren't true.
I'm only the one that can make jokes here. Okay.
My bad. My bad.
Yeah.
But it's like what's part of the fun I think about theology in certain questions is like we can't know the answer. Because God is so vast and so there's so many variables, there's so many things that are happening that I think it's almost impossible for us to say like, oh, this is it. And the more you look into it, the more you study it, the more you realize that that's true. But why do we even bother with it? Well, because it's fun. Because it's interesting, because it shows us more about who God is and what he's like and who we should be in comparison to who he is. But yeah, at the end of the day, there's questions for days.
Yeah. Well, I've definitely learned with my two God-related degrees that knowledge is not essential to faith. It's not like a... It, for me, yeah, I... Like, that's this is how, theology is how I relate to God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Based on my personality.
I would agree with myself. Yeah.
But I think even dumb hicks like you can be even closer to God than
never
I am.
I disagree. Yeah. It's faith alone. Freedom in Christ, brother. For all my Presbyterian
you can be
out there.
As wrong as Paul is on these things
it's
and
true.
Love God more than I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, frankly, nobody loves God more than me.
I can't
that's
do
a bad,
it.
See, that's a really
I can't,
bad Trump
I can't
impression.
Do a podcast with somebody who does a Trump impression.
It's either that or Jordan Peterson. You pick.
Well, Joe. You made a great point there. Lobsters have claws. And so do women. I don't know.
I love it though.
Three drink tray. Yeah.
Oh, four. We've been corrected. Why are you counting? Nobody counts.
It's not me that's counting. It's Annie.
It's Annie 2.0.
Blake. It's his name, right?
Blake. Yeah, okay. You got it right.
Yeah.
Blake's a good guy.
Okay.
What were we talking about? Okay, you know what?
I had a lot of points I wanted to make.
Yeah.
But I'm probably not going to.
I didn't
to.
Have any points to make. No.
So one of the things that I've learned during this podcast is I think God, this is the only definition for God that works. It's the best definition.
Let's go.
That is a joke.
Yeah, of course.
God is dynamic simplicity. Because I really do, and let me see what you think about this. I don't think God is more complex than us. I think God is more simple than we are. And that's why we struggle so much to understand God. I'm getting better at not using gendered words this time
yeah,
around.
Yeah, you are. The last time we made a big reference about the ESV Bible.
Get out of the past.
And that's when the computer died, actually. So I'm not going to make that joke ever again.
So God is so simple. Martin Buber has this quote. It got really quiet right there. I got scared.
Martin Buber.
That is his name. I may not be pronouncing it perfectly. Martin Luther. No.
I thought that's what you were trying to say.
So Martin Luther actually is one of the best representations of Christ in paradox with culture in this book, Christ in Culture by H. Richard Niebuhr. But I'm talking about Martin Buber.
Hashtag not sponsored.
Because Luther was very familiar with the duality of life. And so Luther kind of understood, and this is how Niebuhr understands him, as we live in two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world, the fallen world. And so both of these realities exist at once. So that's how we relate to culture, is some of the culture is already inspired by God and some of it is inspired by this other kingdom. But that's, I don't care about that. Martin Buber.
Yeah.
Great name. Say it.
Buber.
Yeah, he likes that one.
That's a good name. I can say that all day.
Don't let dudes podcast. Even theology podcast. Anyways.
I need more women on this podcast.
In his
dudes.
In his book, do you have any women listeners? Like Annie sometimes?
Annie and Annie's mom.
Yeah. Yeah.
My mom.
Thomas.
Thomas.
Anyways.
Steve, because he doesn't drink. But he doesn't listen. I'm lying.
Anyways, Martin Buber says love is a cosmic force. Mm. So love is simple, but we are too complex for love. But the dynamism, God is a dynamic simplicity. And if I sound unintelligible, it's because I'm coming up with this during this episode, not even the deleted episode. This is
fresh.
Present moment.
Yeah.
I think that dynamism is how God consistently responds to us in love, because God is love. That is the best definition of God.
Yeah.
Love isn't God. God is love.
Yeah.
I don't need to say that. I sound like a conservative when I say that, and I hate that.
You do. Because God is above love.
But to say that love is God would be Christ of culture. So, and Niebuhr is against that, and so am I.
Conundrum.
Yeah.
I love that word.
Conundrum?
Yeah.
Anyways, stop distracting me.
Sorry.
The dynamism is how God constantly responds in love to us in the present moment for what the situation requires. God doesn't respond to you the way he responds to they responds to me.
You caught it. You caught it.
It's a bit at this point. Paul, I promise you, all my lefties out there, I'm getting more progressive. Trust me.
It's true. Which is funny because you were living in Georgia.
Atlanta. Come on.
Atlanta. That's my bad.
But I'm definitely chilling out on how I, man. Jokes are cool.
Yeah, I love jokes.
Yeah.
I feel like if you can't make fun of yourself,
yeah,
get over yourself.
Exactly. Exactly. Which is why this is a comedy podcast.
It.
So you can say whatever you want.
It is comedy.
For us.
Yeah. No one else is laughing. You guys have laughed. I've seen you before. Mm-hmm. They're chuckling. They're chortling.
What do you think about that, though? God is dynamic simplicity. Dynamism is God always responding in a new way.
That's...
But in a way, to speak to your reformed conservative nature...
Yeah, please.
Never in a way that goes against God's character.
Yeah, I agree. I'd agree with that, yeah. But in a lot of ways, I think I do agree with that, in that, at least in this present moment.
Yeah, as you should.
As I should. Because we're looking at things that are intangible. So it's like, let's take, for example, love. It's like, okay, so what is love? It's like, well, love is intangible. So for us to understand it, because we can't understand things that are outside of tangibility. Mm-hmm. So love is a very abstract concept in the same way a lot of things are. A lot of emotions are very abstract. But we have to make them tangible for us to know what to do with them. And I think that's where, here's a plug for therapy, where I think therapy helps is because it helps you make the abstract stract, if that's a word.
Nice. It's not.
It's not a word.
It should be.
But it's like it helps you make those intangible things tangible.
Tangible, yeah. Physical.
And I think with God, it's like God is vast. But it's because it's so beyond us. He's so intangible that we struggle to make him tangible. Mm-hmm. And so how do we see him work throughout Scripture? We'll even make that. It's like it is in some ways you could – I think there's an argument to be made. It is very simple. He works in what his nature is. But then it's like, okay, so what is his nature? Who is he? That's where it gets complicated because it's so outside of us. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Yeah. So it's this weird point where it's like, I think I totally agree with it, but we do make it so complicated because it's so beyond who we are that it seems so intangible.
Yeah. So... God is just being God.
Yeah.
But to us, God seems to always be doing something fresh and new and surprising.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think because if we get too static, we get static and that being locked in, and this goes back to being open-minded.
Yeah.
And should listen to podcasts where people drink, even though you disagree with drinking. I'm doing this for you, Paul. This is your podcast.
Thank you. This is our podcast.
Yeah. It's ours.
And I hope you know that.
Yeah.
Even though it's like I'm the one running it now.
No. You're only running it because I'm letting you.
Exactly. Dude, no, I like 100%. Like you say that as a joke. But in my mind, I'm always like, this is Trey and mine's podcast.
If you actually cared what I thought, you wouldn't be so conservative.
That's why I let atheists on.
That's right. Thank you for letting the atheists on the podcast for me.
Honestly, the weirder you are, the more likely I'm going to be to invite you.
Yeah.
In honor of Trey.
It's such a great... The concept for this podcast is great because you can be making really brilliant points, and if you get a little bit distracted because of the alcohol,
oh, it's great.
It's gone.
Yeah.
The point is gone. It's over. The moment's over. It's time for a new, fresh moment.
That's what I love about the alcohol, though, is because it helps me be more present.
And dynamic.
And dynamic.
Like God.
Dynamic! Yeah. That's for you guys.
All right. So we have 10 minutes left.
Why do you hurt me like this?
Because I'm here for 2 days, and I can't spend it all with you. But.
Yeah, that hurts me.
Niebuhr.
But.
In Christ and culture.
That's why I love him.
Which, me saying that right now would be really funny if it was still the first episode.
Laugh. Please. Please. Thank you. Thank you. They clapped for me.
What's
in the
point
first
of having a live audience?
Dude, they clapped for me in the first episode.
Yeah, I know.
Now they're giving us nothing.
Yeah, they were great. Now they're tired. They're like, we've heard this already.
They're worn out.
Like, this is propaganda at this point.
We need a new audience, please.
So what I have to say, it doesn't go against Niebuhr, but I'm trying to add to it, especially for this present moment, because this was written in like 1950.
Ugh.
Yeah. They didn't know anything about God back then. Oh, I wanted to say, you said something when we were talking about that dynamic simplicity. You talked about God. Yeah, you talked about God. And you didn't mention Jesus, and there was a really good place to mention Jesus there, because you were talking about how God is what you were talking about, it being abstract. Were you saying God was abstract? What were you saying?
I think the concept of his nature and who he is is very
to
abstract.
Us right now, to us, Jesus is not in this room. God is an abstract concept. God is abstract. Love is abstract.
Except
for right now. Between me and you.
Let's go. He's engaged.
That was that this episode?
Yeah. I hope it was. I'm remembering something no one else does.
God is abstract.
Yeah.
But he goes against that. Somebody's calling me because we've been doing this too long. Yeah.
Dang it.
But God makes God's self himself. I'm accommodating you, Paul.
Accommodate yourself. That's what you're here for. I don't get this any other time.
By becoming tangible in Christ.
Yeah.
So, Christ, Jesus, God, they're all the same, makes accommodations for us.
Yeah.
Because God recognizes, hey, I exist. Time is always present to me, but it's not always present to... They have past, present, and future, and everything is present to me all the time.
Yeah.
I am presence. So God sends Jesus, who is God's self and God's son and all that stuff.
Yeah.
To show us who God is in a tangible way so we can look and see and say, hey, that was God. And know it. And know it. I mean, yeah. I wouldn't be a person of faith if it wasn't for Jesus. Yeah. The other religions are very difficult for me. I learned from them now because of Jesus. Jesus allows me to see how other religions have something to offer. But I wouldn't ever claim those as my religion because I need Jesus to show me, maybe because I'm dumb, low IQ, degenerate, but Jesus showed us in a very physical way who God is. And who did you know who God is? We don't have to get into that. He died on the cross. He rose again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. To save all of us.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. I'm going to get off my pedestal. So Niebuhr talks about Christ against culture, the Christ of culture, the Christ above culture. All of these things, I feel like he wrote like 30 pages on each of these, but it's in the title. Like, bro, I know what you mean.
Like, I got you.
He talks about Christ and culture and paradox, and then he talks about Christ, the transformer of culture. And while my position probably mixes a little bit of all these together,
yeah,
I think right now, this present moment, with especially in America, with our political chaos, and I'm saying this, I don't like labels. I think the position for Christians, I think a lot of us feel like it's Christ above culture. A lot of us, like, not centrist, I don't like that, or moderate, you know?
Yeah.
The ones who, like, talk about not being ideologically bound to conservative, Republican, Democrat, liberal, if they eschew these terms, they get caught in this Christ above culture where they feel as if their relationship to Jesus makes them better than these political entities we've created on earth, which would be Christ of culture. But Christ beneath culture, now that's different. I think that gets more at who Jesus revealed himself to be. Because we can go into kenosis, how Jesus lowered himself into humanity. He left the Godhead, not seriously, like that's bad theology.
Yeah.
Jesus was never abandoned by God the Father. But you probably read it that way, but whatever. anyways, Jesus lowers himself into humanity. And I think we as Christians should model that and lower ourselves even, because he didn't just lower himself into humanity. He did do that by becoming human. But he lowered himself to the very depths of humanity, right? Yeah. He became an outsider.
Yeah.
Somebody that the state and religious elite thought needed to die because he was disrupting humanity's order.
Yeah.
The static way they were living.
Yeah.
And I think for us to see Christ as a Christ beneath culture is like tending to a garden where you focus on making sure the soil is healthy. And so if you focus on the soil, you make the soil healthy, who cares about the rest? Let it grow.
Yeah.
Let it grow. If the soil is filled with enough love, and the soil doesn't get credit. The soil is hidden beneath the earth.
Yeah.
It is the earth. Yeah. It says earthen as it gets. If you just focus on that soil, get it as healthy and nutritious. This isn't, and I'm explicitly saying this is not about converting people.
Yeah.
It's not about going on missions trips for the sole reason of getting people to raise their hand and accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I'm talking about healing the soil so that whoever those people are, whoever God made them to be, can flourish.
Hmm. So in with that, like, what does that look like practically? If you can give a practical sense of that.
Practically, I think it means being like not being loud.
Hmm.
It means hiding a little bit.
Hmm.
Eschewing influence, not trying to be like an Instagram influencer.
Hmm.
It means having one-on-one conversations with people.
Yeah.
Where it's the main point of the conversation isn't about changing their mind. The main point is to support them and affirm their humanity, affirming them as image bearers, and then having hands off on the outcome, not forcing it. What do you think about all that?
So this is going to sound like a joke probably at first.
Go for it.
But have you seen the show Cobra Kai?
No. Explain it to me.
Okay.
Explain it to me in 2 minutes or less.
Yes, because I know we're very close on time here. Have you seen the Karate Kid movies?
Yes, both of them. Okay. Yeah.
So Cobra Kai is...
Yeah.
It's like the... It started off with focusing on Johnny Lawrence, who in Karate Kid 1, he was like the nemesis of it. Kind of showing his perspective of all the events that happened in his kind of coming up into becoming a better person. Well, they're on their sixth season now. And
didn't it come out like a year ago?
No, a few years ago, actually. What was it, like 5 years ago? I guess if there's six seasons. And there's a lot of stuff that happens. Let me just say, it's very cheesy, but I absolutely love every second of it. And one of the things in that is looking at the... Remind me, what was the last thing you just said?
I don't remember. It's about... I said a lot of things in the last part there about like people's flourishing, being hands-off, being quiet.
Yes,
being
yes.
Hidden.
That's what I'm looking for. Thank you.
Yeah, go for it.
So in season six, one of the last episodes... One of the girls there, her mom dies.
We sound so sober right now.
I know. So her mom dies. It's a big moment. And she's a very troubled girl in this, but she's one of the students in the dojo. Mm-hmm. And she shows up because she has to have this fight with one of the other students in the same dojo to get to like this big world, like national championship round. And she shows up and she starts fighting, but then people find out like, oh, her mom just died. She shouldn't fight. We need to stop the fight. But Johnny Lawrence, he says, no, like if she wants to fight, let her fight.
Mm.
So the fight gets stopped, and then him and Danny LaRusso, they start arguing. And Johnny Lawrence, what he says is like, she was working it out. He's like, when my parent died, all I wanted to do was do three rounds and just fight it out. He's like, I wanted to work it out. And so I think that's an important thing. It's like, what does working it out look like?
Yeah.
And I think that looks very different for every person. Where for one person, like for Daniel in that case, the sensei, he's seeing this as unhealthy because he's like, this isn't how you work it out. But this might be how she works it out.
Yeah.
And I think that's one where we can't decide for people what healing looks like.
Yeah.
And I think we get very toxic when we decide what healing looks like. Because it looks different for every person. Look at Jesus and how he healed people. It looked very different. Why did it look different? Because they were different people.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. Look how Jesus healed people.
Yeah.
I think, and I have a Pentecostal background, and
yeah.
so I understand the miraculous side of healing all too well to a terrible degree. But I feel like, especially in those circles, as we try to force the healing in a miraculous way,
yeah.
that it pushes back the healing that God actually has for them. It gets in the way of maybe their healing doesn't mean that they walk normal again.
Yeah.
Maybe it doesn't mean they hear out of both of their ears.
Yeah.
We need to stop forcing the miraculous on people.
Yeah.
And let God heal them the way God wants to heal them. And I'm not going to say that the miraculous doesn't happen, though.
Because it does happen.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah,
I don't
maybe.
Know. I don't know. I think it did. And maybe it does today, too. But we got too serious.
We got very serious here. That's because they got us on the other side of tipsy. On the come down. Yeah. So what I would say is like...
I want to say to your karate metaphor, I reject violence on all accounts.
Because you're a pacifist. We actually have an episode on that. Okay, so I know I said this in the first episode.
Okay.
I hate saying that. I'm going to ignore that I said that. Here's what I love about Trey. Because I think this is important to say. And I know you're cringing hard.
That was my chair.
God can only hope.
That was 100% my chair.
God can only hope that was your chair.
It was the chair and my butt sweat, but it was the chair.
Well, the one thing with when this podcast started, which is a whole story about that, too.
3.5 years ago.
3.5 years ago.
And you've only done 53 episodes.
Yeah.
Anyways.
This is 53.
It's a special number to
53
me.
And a half, technically. is the goal of it was let's present different sides of the arguments on theological things from our perspectives, but in a, like a civil way.
Mm-hmm.
And let's not be crazy about it, because we don't have to be crazy about it. We're on the same side. And that's the thing that I love about you is you're a very empathetic person, and I think you feel things very deeply.
That's us, all these liberals, man. That's,
ugh, anyways. Liberals.
I don't like that title, by the way. Continue.
No, I know. But I love, and I actually forgot my point, but I love the balance that you bring to this. And this is one of the things that I always want to strive for in when I talk about open-mindedness is like, let's ask those questions. Because there are questions that we can ask that make us sound, you know, quote-unquote liberal or quote-unquote non-scriptural. I remember one of the things even for myself when I was younger, talking to my very, very biblically conservative friends and telling them that the Bible is weird. And they hated that. Well, why did they hate that? Because they're not allowed to say that. At least they think they're not allowed to.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's a lot that can happen when we admit that there's a lot of weird stuff in life. There's a lot of weird stuff in the Bible. There's a lot of weird stuff that we go through. And let's be honest and let's talk about that.
Yeah.
And I, one of the things I love about you is that you're not afraid to talk about those things. You're not afraid to bring up those questions. And I think that's an important thing that I want to continue to pursue. And I hope you continue to pursue.
Yeah, man. I think even as we get more and more seemingly divided in America, as a society on a political level.
Yeah.
I do think in theory I'm moving more left.
Sure.
But in practice, I'm fighting to keep having conversations with people that are opposite from me.
Yeah.
And I don't think you're that opposite, because I don't think you've gone off the wagon too far to the right, and I'm not trying to like go off the wagon place. Too far to the left.
If anything, I probably move more left than anything.
Oh, hell yeah. Welcome to the club. Bleep that out.
Would you say that's fair? You might not. You might I don't think that.
Political theory, man. We don't need to get into it. I don't think you're moving further to the right, so I don't care. I'll take it. I'm tired of these terms, honestly.
I'm perfectly in
where
I'm at.
These words, they all bore me. All words bore me. I'm drunk. No, that's a joke. The Bible, though.
Tipsy. He's very tipsy right now.
To speak to your friends, if you're listening, Paul's friends when he's grown up, the Bible is not a classroom. Mm. The Bible is a wild adventure.
Yeah.
It's you're in the jungle with a machete.
And it's a doll. It's dull.
Yeah. Because you don't want to hurt anything. No, but I like that metaphor.
That's good.
Yeah. It's the Bible's not a classroom. And that's why I don't think faith and love of God is equally equivalent with degrees in these things. I don't, it's more about passion and perseverance. Because, I mean, I went to a liberal seminary and a lot of them weren't even confessionally Christian.
Wow.
And they know a lot about Christian theology. Mm. More than you, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the first to admit that. I don't know anything.
But here we are. Toward the end. Hopefully the end. And you know what I feel? Mm. I feel a lot of love for you, Paul.
Thank you.
And man, this is fun.
Can I say, this is the most fun I've had in a podcast in about a year.
Sorry to all the guests.
I love you guests.
You just don't drink enough.
Don't take me wrong. But there is something special, and this kind of goes back to a little... Oh, sorry, that's premium content. Where it's like, okay, and I know you have to go. Like, what did we start? And I think it's always important. It's like not to let the past define you, but it's like it's important to look at that to influence how we go forward. And I think what we started was, let's show that this can be fun, but also this is important to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Because we all go through it.
I think whenever I have three drinks, I want to talk about God.
Yeah.
So let's record it.
I agree. And what you guys might never know, because we filmed this in episode half.
Yeah.
Is what our three shots meant in the first. I'm not going to tell you. And Trey's not going to tell you either.
Okay.
Because I'll bleep it.
I think they're... This podcast is just a great idea. It's a great concept.
Thank you.
And I'm glad you're still doing it. Thank you. Yeah. I came up with it. What are you talking
about? You did.
Kind of. But when I started...
There's a lot of politics involved.
Going back to the why I was silly when we first started it.
Yeah.
I think there's something. I listen to other podcasts.
Mm.
They don't talk about anything either.
Yeah.
When we first started doing this, I was like, I'm worried we're not talking about enough.
Mm.
And then I started listening to a lot of podcasts recently. I'm like, these people aren't saying anything. And they have millions of listeners.
Yeah.
So listen to this podcast.
Because we talk about something, maybe.
We're trying to.
We're trying.
And hopefully it'll... Even if we don't, it makes you think about something.
Yeah, and that's my. I think the thing that I want people to take out of this, if anything, is that it's okay to sound stupid. It's okay to ask the dumb questions,
mm-hmm.
because everyone's struggling with them, whether they admit it or not. And yeah, they might sound dumb. They might sound obvious, but if it's a question you have, it's important to ask. And it's okay to be silly at the same time.
Yeah, I think so.
Because I don't think we can take it too seriously.
Well, as I said on the last time we got together a year ago,
yeah,
something about joy and all this. Well, joy to me is the, and this is what I love our friendship, because you're one of those people. I'm a very serious person.
Yeah.
But yeah, you bring out the absolute silliest version of me. And that's, I think that's why we're friends.
I think that's true.
Yeah. Because yeah, I should hate you.
You should.
Yeah.
But I love you. And that's why he hates me.
So anyways, I think that wraps this up.
Trey, as always, it's more than a pleasure. It's an honor.
It is.
I hope you guys hear that clink.
Yeah. Bye, everybody. It was great to be with you again.
And I'll talk to you hopefully sooner rather than later.
That's nice.
Thank you.